Well, a priest was being honored at his retirement dinner after 25 years in one parish. A leading local politician and member of the congregation was chosen to make the presentation and give a little speech at the dinner, but he was delayed. So the priest decided to say a few words on his own while they waited for the politician to show up. The pastor said, "I got my first impression of this parish from the very first confession I ever heard here. At first, I thought I was assigned to a terrible place. The very first person who entered my confessional told me he had stolen a television set, and when questioned by the police, he was able to lie his way out of it. Then he had stolen money from his parents, embezzled from his employer, and taken illegal drugs. I was appalled. But as the days went on, I knew that my people were not all like that, and I had indeed come to a fine parish full of good and loving people." After the priest finished his talk, the politician arrived full of apologies of being late. He immediately began to make his presentation and give his talk. "I'll never forget the first day our parish priest arrived," said the politician. "In fact, I had the honor of being the first person ever to go to confession to him." So what we can take from that is it's not a good idea to be late, right? However, in the spiritual life, we can say better late than never, right? In the spiritual life, better late than never. And that's what the gospel is all about today. If you take a look at this wonderful passage, this interesting parable from the Lord, Matthew chapter 20, it's all about a landowner who goes out to hire workers, day laborers. And he first went out at dawn, maybe 6 a.m, to hire laborers to work the harvest. Then he goes out again at 9 a.m. and hires the rest of the men that are standing around. And then he goes out at noontime and hires more men, sends them out to his vineyard to work. Then he goes out again about 3 p.m. And believe it or not, when he goes out at 5 p.m, he still sees men standing there. And he says, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they say, "Well, no one has hired us." And he says, "Well, come out and work in my vineyard as well, and I'll pay you what is fair. I'll pay you what is just." So when you look at this, you have some were hired at dawn and they worked all day in the heat. Others started at 9 o'clock, 12 noon, 3 o'clock. And then there was a group that came very late to the work. 5 o'clock. They only worked for 1 hour before they were done. And what's interesting is that the landowner says, "Well, I'm going to pay everybody." And even the people that went out early in the morning, they had agreed on getting the usual daily wage, which was a denarius, a coin, which was the equivalent of a day's wage, which was a very good amount of money. It was a fair sum. And they all agreed to work for that denarius, that coin for the daily wage. But what happened was the landowner said, "Well, let's start with the people that just came at 5 o'clock and let's pay them first and then we'll work our way back." And so when the guys had only worked for 1 hour, they received a full day's pay. They received a denarius, like as if they had worked the whole day. So they come out, they're very happy, they're talking about their payment. And everybody else who had worked all day said, "Well, surely we're going to get more because we worked a lot longer." Well, when they came up, they got the same daily wage. And they began to complain and grumble against the landowner. And they say, "It's not fair. These people came so late in the game, and yet they're getting a full day's payment. We've worked all day, and we're getting the same amount." Well, the landowner says, "I have been very just and very fair with you. You said you would work for the day. I gave you a usual daily wage. I'm giving you what is just. With these latter ones, I am being merciful." Do you know the difference between justice and mercy? Justice is when you give somebody what they're due. Mercy is when you go beyond what they're due. Mercy is when love tempers justice. So thanks be to God. God is not only a just God, God is a merciful God. God is a God of mercy. In fact, Pope Francis's new book is called The Church of Mercy. He wants the church to be merciful. He wants all of us to be merciful because God is merciful. And so mercy is when love tempers justice, when somebody gets not what they're due, but beyond, and they get blessings beyond what they are due. And so the landowner says, am I not free to give my money to whom I please and to however much I please? Or are you envious because I am generous? That's what this gospel is about. The mercy of God, the generosity of God, that even those who come to God late in their life, maybe a deathbed conversion, can still, with God's grace and mercy, obtain heaven. And so when we look at this, we should not fall into the trap of being like those grumbling or angry workers. We should never be upset because of the mercy of God, but we should rejoice when we hear stories of God's mercy and God's conversion. We don't want to fall into the trap of being envious. Envy is a terrible sin, and it's like a cancer that can eat people alive. Envy is sadness over when other people experience something good. And the father of envy was the devil himself. Satan was envious. He was envious. And that's why he tried to destroy Adam and Eve. Cain was envious of his brother Abel and wound up killing him. Joseph's brothers in the Old Testament were envious of him and had him thrown into the pit. The Pharisees were envious that Jesus was so merciful to sinners. And many of the chosen people, the Jewish people, were envious because the Gentiles were now coming to Christ and to salvation. So why did the Lord preach this particular gospel? Who was it directed to? I would say first it was directed to the scribes and Pharisees that considered themselves having worked in the vineyard all day. They were part of God's chosen people, God's faithful people. The scribes and Pharisees felt that they had done the day's work in the heat of the sun. They were fulfilling all the rules and regulations of the law. And yet Jesus was being so loving and forgiving and compassionate to tax collectors and well-known sinners. And so they felt that these people were coming to salvation sort of, it was unfair. They were being forgiven after living such a sinful life. And also, of course, the chosen people felt that they were, and they knew they were God's chosen people, and yet salvation was now being offered to the Gentiles. And they felt that wasn't fair. And so the parable is directed to them. However, when we apply it to our own life, we should, in fact, see, well, where are we in this parable? Maybe we're some of the ones that came late to God's grace and God's salvation. Maybe some in the church here have been away from God for many years and have only come back in recent years. As a priest, I've had the beautiful experience of baptizing men or women at the nursing home who are in their 80s or 90s and bring them into the Catholic Church when they're in their 80s or 90s. And we rejoice at that. We rejoice at God's mercy that people can come to God even at the end of their life. Well, the patron saint of deathbed conversions is the good thief, Saint Dismas. He had been obviously a criminal. He was being crucified, but he reached out at the last moment and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, I assure you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He was the thief to the end. He stole heaven even at the last moment. And so he's a patron saint of deathbed conversions. So we should rejoice when we hear of people that come to the Lord at the end of their life. An interesting thing to do on the internet is to type in deathbed conversions to Catholicism. And you can read the amazing stories of people like John Wayne, who converted to the Catholic faith on his deathbed. Bob Hope converted to the Catholic faith at the end of his life. Malcolm Muggeridge, a brilliant intellect, was converted towards the end of his life by the inspirational life of Mother Teresa. But if you read these deathbed conversions, you'll hear amazing stories of like the actor Gary Cooper, who became a Catholic on his deathbed, or Oscar Wilde, the great writer, became a Catholic. The actor Buffalo Bill, you've heard of him, he became a Catholic on his deathbed as well. See, these are people that have come to the Lord at the last moment of their life. They may have not have been like yourselves, who were faithful to God your whole life, going to church every Sunday, and eventually will enter the kingdom of heaven. But some of these have entered the kingdom of heaven at the very last moment of their life. So that's why today's gospel, I think, is very powerful. It's a gospel of mercy. Now, of course, we should never put off our conversion. We should never delay our conversion and think, well, I'll come to God at the last minute. That will be the sin of presumption. I remember seeing the bumper sticker that says, "Those who wait to seek God in the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. OK, so we don't want to deliberately put off our conversion. So we should never say, well, I'm going to wait till the end to go to confession and to get the last rites and the sacraments. We should never do that. However, today's gospel is a gospel of hope. Maybe your son or daughter has left the faith, or your grandchildren have left the faith. Keep praying for them. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for their conversion. Because even though they might not come to the Lord right away, hopefully they'll come before it's too late. So in the spiritual life, better late than never. God bless you.